What's up, everybody? It's Kenny King's fat ass, as always, with my boy Dustin Downham. How you doing, Raider Way? What's good today?
Doing better than you, apparently.
We're gonna start this show off with a bang. It's been a good day,
left and right.
it's been a day, hasn't it? It's been a great day. Had a nice little Twitter beef that I deleted because I'm better than that.
That wasn't even a Twitter beef. That was like Twitter slices of salami or some shit. Like, it wasn't even a full-fledged beef. It was like 6 tweets long.
That guy really wanted the beef. Like, I mean, literally, like, every other thing was talking about sucking beef. And so, look, whatever you do, bud, just find yourself and be happy with whoever you are and whoever you end up with. That said, we got football to talk about. Raiders have started camp. They're 10 days in. Pads are on. We're starting to see some things. The title of this show is It's Getting Chippy, and we got to address that right now because it started out as, you know, them talking about, you know, Tashaun said they got chippy, and then there was a article that went out with Dove Kleeman saying that franchise quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo and star pass rusher Max Crosby got into it, which Tashaun didn't say. He said it got chippy. And Crosby was forced to take a lap afterwards. Well, good old Vinny Bonsignor cleared things up. With all due respect, this did not happen. Max ran a lap for jumping off sides, which Jimmy induced with a hard count. Jimmy gave Max some playful shit for getting into it in the jump, and there was no scuffle.
Do we really think Max is going to put hands on Jimmy? Nobody's going to put hands on Jimmy.
I knew from the moment that Tashaun said it got chippy, I knew that it was just talking. I knew it was talking back and forth. I know that Max isn't a fucking idiot, and Max isn't going to go out there and be like, oh, let me just fight the quarterback. Like, nobody does that shit. And so the fact that people –
we all wanted to run with it. Let's be honest. We all wanted to run with the narrative. Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, we wanted to, but we know that it's not true. We know that it's not something that's going to happen. Max isn't dumb enough to do that. And also, if Max and Jimmy actually got into a fight, Max would be running a lot more than a lap. Okay.
Yeah.
This isn't a Draymond Jordan Poole situation where, you know, Jordan Poole's expendable and Max is going to go on a year. I shouldn't say that because I got people who really love Jordan Poole and I don't want.
Don't piss off your Warriors fans.
You know, not even my Warriors fans. It's just one Warriors fan in particular I don't want to piss off because she will get mad and that won't be good. So we're not going to go on a media tour. Not going to go on a media tour talking about that. What we will go on a media tour talking about is the fact that Jimmy's been getting out there and he's been talking shit. And, you know, you've got a quarterback. Look, I love Derek. Derek's awesome. But you got a quarterback who's going out there, who's running his mouth, who's talking shit, you know. You know, I think Max would hit a role player. If you know, not
like a special teamer.
Yeah, like not in the face without it, you know, not like to the extent of Bill Romanowski where he's going to break a face or something like that. But, you know, he might throw a punch in practice. We saw Travis Kelce do it, you know.
Twice,
you know.
In one practice.
It happens, you know. Shout out Raider Tim. Raider Tim's always a friend of the pod. He's always listening to us. Good guy. Make sure you guys give him a follow. He's a good dude. Came out to the tailgate a couple times. I'm not going to post Raider Room's next if he says anything else about my guy Draymond, I will put him on timeout because I love Draymond. But getting back into it, Jimmy's been getting after it and talking shit in the locker room, talking shit in the weight room, talking shit on the field. And you hear guys talking about things feel different this year. What's your take on that?
No, I think you've got a different energy. You know, I mean, everybody's been so used to Derek. He gets out there and I'm sure he jabs his own little certain ways, but it's probably a different level of shit talking than these guys are used to. You know, you figure Max has been there his whole tenure with the Raiders has been with Derek. So this is his first new quarterback that's out there, maybe a little bit mouthy. You know, he likes messing with the guys and this and that. You know, I think it's good for him, you know, give them that little bit of edge that they maybe didn't have before. And like you said, everybody's been saying there's a noticeable shift in how things are done. I can't remember exactly who said it. It might have been Vinny. He said there's a noticeable crispness that these guys get in and out of the huddle. Just a general command of things. And I think you can attribute that to Jimmy being in McDaniel's system before, even though it was 7 years ago or whatever. I think that familiarity is what's giving him that, okay, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to lead this offense. And even Chandler Jones says the offense seems more efficient and what did he say? More, there was a specific word he said, but I can't remember exactly. More successful this season.
Yeah, I think that you hit the nail on the head. I think the biggest thing is you have Jimmy who was in that system. And here's the thing. Even though it was 7 years ago, you still remember what it was like playing for that coach and what the expectations were. I can go back to 20 years ago when I was in college, and I can still tell you exactly what my coaches expected of me. You know, I can go back to high school and tell you what my coaches expected of me. I can go back to, to Pop Warner and tell you what my coaches expected. That never gets out of your head. That always stays ingrained inside your head, and you keep that. So, as a Raider fan, I like to see that. You had that with Rich Gannon. Like you said, Derek probably, talked a little different shit. You know, we know everybody talks a little bit, right? You know, I talk to Sean Merriman all the time, and he tells me that Philip Rivers was the most polite shit talker. He would talk all this shit, but wouldn't cuss. And he said, it just gets under your skin because you're like, dude, like, shut up.
Cussing, or something.
But we as Raider fans, we would see it because he's just always John, and it's annoying. And it gets to the point where it's like they get in your head.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the fact that there's some dogs out there. You got a dog at quarterback. Jimmy's not the guy that everybody wanted, but he's the guy that we got. And I'm going to ride with him. And until he's not under center, that's our quarterback. If Aiden comes in, then Aiden comes in. And I'm liking what I'm hearing about Aiden. Talk about Aiden a little bit and what you're hearing about Aiden out of camp.
Well, I know when they talked to Renfro the other day, they're saying that his accuracy, he said he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks that he's ever caught a ball from. Everybody, he's been knocking off 20-yard completions downfield to Jacoby Meyer, whoever he's running with. It sounds like he's got a really crisp ball. So he gets it out. What Hondo was saying is he may hold it a little too long. He said he's looking at holding it about 3 seconds. Hondo says it's got to be out in like 2.5. Yeah. So he's got a little bit of work there to get his ball out a little bit faster. But it sounds like everything has been accurate and on the spot. You've seen a couple videos with him tossing one down. I think it was Jacoby Meyer. He put it right over the top of him, laid out for it, and just landed right in the end zone. So, and again, that's not against any kind of coverage. They're in shorts at that point, but still, it's nice interesting to hear.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear. It's nice to see. You like to see some videos out of camp. You like to see some pictures out of camp. We haven't seen much, through the OTAs. Yeah. It's been very, very, very much under wraps, which is a big change from before. Mm-hmm. With Gruden, we had Hard Knocks. We had, we had a lot of videos. There was, a little bit more leniency with what's shown. And now you're kind of seeing the McDaniels way. I'm not going to say the Patriot way because it's not the Patriot way. It's the McDaniels way, and because he did the same thing in Denver. And so, you know, you're seeing a little bit, but you're not seeing enough, you know. Yeah. And I kind of like it. You don't see what's behind the curtain, and, you know, they don't show a lot in preseason. But what I do want to see in preseason is I would like to see Jimmy out there under center a couple of times just to, you know, get that game scenario, get that game feel, you know, and see these young guys get out there. You know, I don't think we need to see Devontae at all. I don't think we need to see much of Michael Mayer, to be honest with you. You know, I think he's
as advertised, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know that he's needs to prove a whole lot at this point.
No, you know, I think with the way that Hunter's been playing in camp, I don't think we need to see Hunter Renfrow in preseason, to be honest with you.
I'm excited, you know, to see Trey Tucker.
I'm excited to see Tucker. You know, I want to see these young guys. I want to see who, you know, who our 4, 5, and 6 are going to be. You know, I'm not worried about the 1, 2, 3. We know who 1, 2, 3 is. Who's going to take that 4, 5, 6? Who's going to be that TE2, the TE3? You know, personally, I think it's probably going to be Hooper and Horsted. We see, you know, OJ Howard's out already, you know, and people got mad at me because I said Mayer must be balling in practice because I thought that Mayer was going to get cut. Like, I'm a fucking idiot.
yeah, because they're just going to outright cut their second round pick this year.
Yeah, exactly.
That should have gone in the first.
Yeah, so, seriously. Yeah. You know, so those are the things that I look at. As we look, turn, and shift focus, you know, still staying on offense, but looking now in the offensive backfield, what are your thoughts on what you've seen from Zamir White so far?
Everything I've been hearing, that he's just bulldozing everybody. He's just, he's put on a little bit of weight, and he's still as explosive as he was last year. So if you can pump up the weight and still maintain your speed and agility and everything, then he may have a legit shot to, you know, assuming Josh doesn't come back. I read somewhere that there may be some more tweaks that they're trying to work out with the contract situation with Josh to try and get him in. But if Josh doesn't show, I mean, Zamir's kind of next man up, wouldn't you think? I mean, you've got Abdullah and Bolden.
Yeah.
But those guys, I feel like Abdullah is in on passing downs. He's kind of that scat back. Like, yeah, he's going to catch it out of the backfield and everything. But Bolden, you know, he's an up the gut runner, you know. But Zamir, he can bounce it out. He can go up the gut. You know, I think he works a little bit better outside of the tackles than inside. But, you know, that's just on the limited basis that we've seen him. He's had some good in between the tackles runs, but I like to see him bounce it out on the edge if he can get out.
Yeah. One thing that stands out to me is, like you said, he bulked up and, you know, he looks like he's ready to play pro football. Last year, he didn't look ready to play pro football. He had flashes where he was looking good, but, you know, he was still kind of had that quote unquote baby weight, you know, and just molded that, right? And molded that into an NFL type running back style or body type. You know, looking at the Josh Jacobs situation, one of the things I liked was the, you know, Dave Ziegler's comments, which pretty much alluded to, you know, they want to get, you know, something done this year. And based off of the performance this year, this is my takeaway from it, was based off the performance this year, he could potentially have a multi-year deal after that. Because obviously they can't give him a multi-year deal this year. But if you give him a little bit more money this year, give him some incentives, and then, you know, at the end of the season, you say, okay, well, let's do this. Let's get a multi-year deal done, and keep Josh in silver and black, hopefully for the rest of his career.
Yeah. I mean, if you're committed to a guy like Josh, you know, then you need to make it known. Yeah. Basically, yeah. I think I saw it was Ziegler on, whatever the show is called that they put out, that the Raiders
behind
put
the shield,
out.
I believe.
Yeah. Behind the Shield. He said it was basically a matter of they ran out of time to find that common ground. He goes, we were headed in the right direction, but we just kind of ran out of time. In my head, I'm going, you guys had a lot of time. Yeah. How long did you wait? You know, how did you not take it seriously? Did you didn't think he wasn't actually going to sign it? You know, what was the deal there? Yeah. But he's from everything that Ziegler was saying, and of course he's not going to say, you know, oh yeah, you know, we're having issues or anything like that. Right. He's just going to say that they ran out of time and they were close.
Yeah.
So I think if they're going to stick with Josh, then they need to figure out a way to get him in camp and basically assure him a contract this coming free agency period.
Absolutely. And I think that's got to be the focus, right? Now, as we shift gears to the defensive side of the ball, Max is Max. And, you know, Max is going to max. Yeah, Max is going to max. Max has been a beast. You've got Chandler Jones, who's looking lean and mean and looks completely transformed than what he did last season. I think towards the end of the season last year is where he started to come around. But he looks ready to go. I think he understands that he didn't have a good season last year. He understands that he needed to step it up. He's getting paid this kind of money to be here, to be, you know, a pass rusher. I expect a big season out of Chandler Jones. Around the tackles, there's some question marks. I was on a podcast yesterday talking about Neil Farrell Jr. And, you know, he's a guy that I think could be on the cusp of not being on this team, you know, because he wasn't a practice. He's been missing practices, whatever it is, little injuries or whatnot. You're not hearing a lot about him in practice. You're not hearing a lot coming out of camp. And then you've got Byron Young, who the Raiders drafted early. And you've got some guys that are stepping up. What are your thoughts on Neil Farrell and the potential of him not being on this team?
I think it's interesting because I'm sitting here looking at the roster and looking at the sizes of these defensive tackles that they've got. And he's by far the heaviest one on the team, listed at 325. Everybody else is in the high 290s, low 300s. So he's a gap filler, obviously.
Yeah.
I stand corrected. John Jenkins is 327. So, okay. You've got two guys that are 325 plus, but, with Farrell missing practices, he's going into his second year. Yeah. It's the same system, but your role might be different based on who's around you, you know? what's up, Serge? you've got Farrell and Jenkins right there at 325 with Byron Young being there as well. I think Byron Young's, he's got a wider range of what he can do. You know, he's very aggressive. You see him come out of Alabama, just tearing up the inside offensive line. And if I'm got to lean one way or the other, it's tough, man. Cause they're very different, because Young is sitting at 292 and fast. You know, he's a little more violent, I think, than from the limited time that I've seen Farrell play in Graham's defense. So I'm curious to see which one of them gets back to practice first and starts making the impression. So I think what's going to come down to is who can make a bigger impression in the shortest amount of time.
And I think that I think the clock is ticking on Farrell. And the reason why I also think that is, remember last year, he was a healthy scratch a lot, you know, and we found out that, you know, it was not due to his ability on the field. It was more of his inability to mature. You know, there was a lot of issues there where he was showing up late to meetings. He wasn't taking things seriously. I likened him to an Eddie Vanderdoes, where, you know, it's just, you know, has the ability, just didn't really put it together. Doesn't really care, you know, and I'd like for him to prove me wrong there. But we'll see. A position group that I'm also really excited about is the defensive backfield. You look at, you know, the addition of Marcus Peters. You've got Ja'Corian Bennett, who I know our guy Raider Room is very high on.
Starter. You know, I'm sorry, he's got to be a day one starter.
He's got to be. You know, but this defensive backfield, I'm excited about. You've got some guys out there that can play. You got some guys that can get after it. I think Trayvon Merrick has a big jump this year. I think Nate Hobbs has a big jump because, and you got Chris Smith coming in. I'm excited about him. Who are some guys that you're excited about on this defense?
Well, one guy that I've been hyping since last season is Polamalu. I think he's going to have a really good season. I know you're laughing, but I had a hot take today. I think he finishes the season with three or more interceptions because he seems like he's been getting after it in practice. He's picked off Jimmy twice. You know, a matter of fact, today the defense had, I think, five plus interceptions, two of them off of Jimmy and then three off of, you know, Hoyer and O'Connell. So this is an interesting shift that we're seeing from this defensive backfield where they're not afraid to go get the ball. Yeah. And I saw a tweet come out. I think it might have been from Mike Dixon. Peters dropped an interception, immediately drops to the ground, 10 pushups. So there's a level of accountability that I don't think was there before. You know, you've got vets like Peters coming in and instilling this, okay, you know, Seawood's old saying, see ball, get ball.
See ball, get ball.
So I'm really high on Polamalu switching between safety and linebacker. It seems like he's been kind of fluid between those two positions. And then in the 88 snaps that he played last season, you saw him playing in the box a lot.
Yes.
So
Polamalu is a guy. Yeah, I'm excited about him going against Kelce. I think that he's a guy that can probably go out there and shut down Kelce, and that's what we need.
Wow, that's pretty lofty. Because I mean, Polamalu is only 205 pounds, dude. Kelce's big.
Hey, he's Samoan though.
He's got that heart.
He's got that heart. Chee-hoo! Come on now.
Now, see, and I'm also pumped about Marcus Epps too, though. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about in this backfield. I'm looking at the entire roster, and there's a bunch of guys on here that I'm excited about. Shelley, you know, Hobbs, obviously, David Long, Marcus Peters, Amik. You know, he's in the mix. So it's going to be really hard to slim this roster down come cut time, and figure out who your defensive backs are going to be.
Yeah, and you know, the crazy thing is going into this offseason, right? Our biggest question mark was the DBs. You know, it's like what are the DBs going to look like? And now we say, okay, we've got some depth here. We've got some guys that can play. We're gonna have to make some, you know, we're gonna have to make some questionable cuts. But that's a good problem to have. I think the biggest question mark now is that linebacking core. You know, you look at the linebackers and. I'm not 100% sold on this linebacking core. Now, the reason why I'm not so down on the defense as a whole, because the defensive line is solid, the defensive backfield is solid. If the defensive line could get after it with Max and Tyree and Chandler and, you know, and Isaac Cush, I called him Isaac Cush because he's Allison Cush's husband, you know. We know he's Mr. Kutch. So, So you get those guys and get after it. You get some, you know, you've got Jerry Tillery who can, you know, rush the quarterback. You know, you're going to have a rotation at defensive tackle. I think that, you know, our DBs and our defensive linemen are going to be the guys that are going to be instrumental to this linebacking core being decent. So that's where, you know, we're going to really need to see some help there. Shout out Joey. Friend of the podcast too, Merrick. He thinks Merrick's going to have a breakout season, be a top seven safety. That is a lofty, lofty, lofty hot take.
Let's mark it down.
Let's write it down. I like it. I mean, if we have a top seven safety, that's beautiful. And speaking of top sevens, we had three guys in the top 20. You know, the first time in I don't know how long. I don't think it's ever been.
I don't know about ever. Yeah,
you had Max, Tay, and Josh in the top 20. Like, what is? Break it down for people that don't understand the top 100. What that means for this team?
So the top 100, for everybody that may not understand it as well as a lot of other Raiders fans and football fans in general, these are guys that are voted on around the league by the players. So these guys are the ones that are, and they're writing in their names, you know, saying, this is a guy that he's one of the top 100 players in the league, you know, without a doubt. So to have three of these guys come up in the top 20, I still think Tay and Max, well, actually, I think all three of them were a little low. I think all three of them should have scraped into the top 10, 15 range. I could be being a little biased, but I think Tay is still in the top 10. Yeah. But, you know, for these three guys to be voted into the top 100, having not made the playoffs last year, having a pretty rocky season, let's just put it that way, but their individual performances were enough to warrant the league putting themselves on notice, basically saying, okay, we got to watch out for these three guys.
Yeah. I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head with Tay. I mean, Tay is still, in my opinion, the best receiver in the league until he's dethroned. And look, I know the Madden, you know, it was in 98 on Madden. They didn't want to give him the gold cleats this year. I get it. He'll be a 99 by midseason. Like we,
it's all right. They'll probably be a 99 by week two uniform anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's you seeing that. You look at Max. Max is a guy who's going to come out there, and I believe, and I'm not saying this as a Raider fan. I'm saying this as somebody who has watched Max, who has talked to Max, who has studied Max's game, who's, you know, seen Max's work ethic. I believe, I strongly and firmly believe that Max will be Defensive Player of the Year this season. I think that's his goal. That's his, you know, what he's striving for. And I believe that Max will be Defensive Player of the Year this season.
I mean, I think at this point, this is probably the best shot that he's had since he's been on the team. You've got Chandler across from you, second year in Graham's system. He's got some what seems to be some help in the defensive back section. You know,
yeah.
His whole tenure with the Raiders has been the defensive backfield's been a little fluid. You know, things haven't been maybe up to par, but with those little pieces like that, but on his individual, performance alone, I mean, I think he should have had it last season or the season before. You know, yeah. I don't think he had any business losing to Nick Bosa. What was that, 2 years ago?
Smaller Bear. Well, that was so his rookie year, he lost the Defensive Rookie of the Year to Nick.
Okay.
And then I believe last year, did Nick win? I believe it was either Nick or JJ that won. I'm drawing a blank right now.
I think TJ won last year.
Yeah, TJ. Sorry, not TJ. JJ.
Yeah, TJ won it last year. It was the year before that where Max led the league in pressures and tackles for loss and all these other statistical categories except for sacks. And apparently you just need to be the sack leader to win Defensive Player of the Year.
And with those guys, I really feel that Max can be the sack leader this season. I'm excited to see what he brings to the table this year. I'm excited to see what this team does. You know, it's nice that football is back. We had the Hall of Fame game last night. Lights went out. That was kind of weird. You know,
A-Rod sitting in the dark.
A-Rod just enjoying the dark again.
He's like, everyone else is freaking out. I love it.
And he's like, I did a retreat like this. This is, give me some ayahuasca. We're good.
I do my best thinking in the dark.
Seriously. We got Space Beast saying wide receiver one, RB1, DE1, top five. LT, we have a foundation. I agree.
A lot of pieces.
You know, and then the right tackle, Jermaine Illuminor was a guy that was going to be, that was slated to be in. And I just see a report from Vinny and from Vic that Thayer Munford's making a push. And that, you know, and Thayer Munford's a big boy. That's a big dude. You know, so there's competition. I'm excited about that. You got guys that are competing. You know, it's not a situation like, hey, I'm the starter, I got this job. And it's like, no, I'm going to come in here and take that job.
No, and that's what you want. You want that competition from top to bottom.
You want guys playing as hard as they can, playing their asses off, getting after it.
Every down.
Every down. So getting into that, we're about to head out of here. I'm going to leave you guys with something nice Dustin put together for us. And I want you guys to just take a little video or watch this little video of the camp.
Creep on in, on in, on in. Mm-hmm.